Welcome, listeners, to another hourly stimulating edition of the Castle Club podcast. On this week's installment, our heroes speak of creepy feelings both legitimate and constructed. From the latest West Craven effort to ill-advised messages from United States Air Marshals, the gamut of emotional and comedic discussion shall be brought to light as the sands of Tatooine under the heat of its twin suns. It's Stock-A-Piece Theater, right here on the Kessel Club podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to yet another thrilling edition of the Kessel Club.
I'm already thrilled.
That's right. Another edition of the Castle Club podcast. I'm Jeremy. Julie's sitting in with us again. Say hi, Julie.
What's up?
Word.
She's my favorite guest star.
What's up? That's Deming. And Megan, say hi to the many listeners.
Hi.
What up?
She's got a lovely voice.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, not me. All right. So let's talk about, we were just talking off air about horror movies. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about Scream 4.
Can I talk about Scream 4? Which is really fast real quick. Or is it me and everybody else on the bloody disgusting forums?
Talk at a normal speed about it, even.
This is girl speed.
All right.
All my girls can still understand me.
Holla.
Anyways. So it's been 11 years since we last left the Scream crew.
Right.
Scream 3.
Dewey.
2000.
Mm-hmm. Sydney.
It's been a while. And it's been, you know, just so long since the first Scream, which really was a satire of 70s and 80s classic horror films. Mm-hmm. And all the tropes there within. However, since it's been over a decade since Scream 3, I'm really excited to see their take on all of the new ways the genre has grown. Especially in ways of, like, J-horror. We can talk about torture porn.
Sure.
Found footage films. These are all new territory. Mm-hmm. Everything has been turned upside down. And I'm so fucking excited!
Holy
now,
shit.
Now, do we also head back to Healdsburg to... Because
no.
They say that Sydney's going to her old campus, which
yes.
was filmed in Healdsburg, California.
It was not filmed in Healdsburg, though.
There were parts that were filmed
there,
in Healdsburg.
The square is Healdsburg.
Yeah, the fountain
yeah.
where they
but,
were
yeah. Did anyone ever watch Scream 1 all the way to the end? Because there's this really funny little bit in the credits. Or there was a school, actually. So we're all from Sonoma County. And
or,
yeah. Not all of us.
Well, left our hearts
cool
in Sonoma County. Sorry, you knew where Sebastopol was. I just assumed.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I've been there.
Yeah.
But, all right, so at the very end of the credits, there was a school that wouldn't let them film there.
Santa Rosa High School.
So at the very end, if you have to wait for it, and I was like, you know, fast-forwarding the VHS. Absolutely
right.
No thanks whatsoever
yeah.
to Santa Rosa High School.
Yeah. Well, the reason that they wouldn't let them film at the high school, which I assume, by the way, would have netted them, like, a lot of money, publicity, things like that, is that it was, like, finals week and they didn't want to be distracting to the mm-hmm. students. Because, you know, like, I can think so many times where, like, I've been walking around and, like, I'm reviewing all of my geology facts or, you know, all my physics laws, and all of a sudden, you know, I see some, like, you know, 55-year-old, like, overweight grip, like, setting lights so that they can start shooting at 7 p.m. And I'm like, fuck, what's Muscovite mica again? I can't remember. Thanks a lot, Scream,
wait,
whatever
can
that is.
Can I just say, though, that as Julie was mentioning, they did film Boy Meets World there, mm-hmm. but they did a Scream ripoff episode
yes.
of Boy Meets
Fine
World.
Fine episode.
Which is
the Jennifer
yes.
Love Hewitt cameo?
No, well, Sean is
she
like
Jennifer
behind
Love Pfefferman.
It's good.
There was a great episode. A guy got killed with a pencil through his head.
Yes.
And they drew the line down the wall and they went up. They're like, well, I always remember he was this tall. Greatest joke ever.
Wait, but also Insidious is on theaters right now.
I want to see that.
So I just saw it at the drive-in. You should see it at a drive-in because it was 1,000% more fun. I probably would not have enjoyed it. It's by the people that did Saw and Paranormal Activity. I just rewatched Paranormal Activity. It's a lot better than I remember.
Mm.
But also, I saw a pirated copy, which was completely different.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it was...
Totally different ending.
Right.
So the real one with all the weird religious overtones is, it's super good.
Right.
But, you know, for a found footage film, which isn't really my steez, but still...
Yeah.
Can we go back to the writing utensil through the face? Because
yeah.
that scene in the faculty with Jon
yes.
Stewart is one of my favorites.
My faculty is so
okay,
good.
So I
and
actually,
even
to this day
with
when
the
I watched
aliens
the Daily
doing
Show,
coke?
When I watch The Daily Show, like, once in a while, I'll look at him and think back to, like, him as a teacher in the faculty. And it makes me so happy.
I have a fun story about the faculty. So, my favorite instance of, like, TV censoring and editing is in a version of the faculty that was on, I think, like, TBS. Or, like, TNT. Something like that. So, there's a part towards the end where they, like, they figured out that there's weird slug aliens taking over everybody.
Sure.
It's like...
Yerks.
Yeah, I was about to say Animorph style.
What
up? They figure out how they're gonna...
Taxons.
That, like, the crack or whatever, or, like, the... I think it's speed, actually. In the pen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the speed. In the pens, the guy selling can kill them, but then, like, his lab gets messed up or something.
Which was such a thing ripoff.
But he had more in his trunk. So
yeah, okay. But anyway, so Josh Hartnett gets really, really upset, and in the actual film, he just yells "fuck" really loudly. He's just like "fuck." In the TNT, TBS, whatever basic cable version, he goes "fooey" really
loudly. I think the best
and really
answer.
Angrily and. I nearly died laughing the first time I saw that.
I think the best version of...
Is it going to be snakes on a plane?
No, that's a good one. These on my Monday to Friday plane? No.
The best one... These monkey fighting snakes.
Yes, on the Monday to Friday plane. You know, it's one of those non-weekend planes. No, the best one that I saw was Mallrats. The ABC cut of Mallrats is renowned for this. There's two great moments that I can think of. One, there's a scene where... the line is, you know, they ask him how he knocked these two dudes out, and he says, all it took was a fat chronic blunt. But they replaced it, and not his voice, it literally sounds like, I don't know, Dick Clark or something jumped in, because he just goes, all it took was a fat karate punch! Like, it just totally ridiculous. And then the other one that was great was, the scene where they go to the topless fortune teller, topless psychic, so she's have you seen Mallrats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, you know, she's got, like, three nipples, and they're all staring at her like she's, you know, some sort of strange three-nipple haver.
Mm-hmm. Actually, only Brody is.
That's right. So Brody's like, huh? And the version, they show that scene, but they digitally zoom in on her head, so you can't see that she's topless at all. So she's just speaking to them normally.
And he's like,
huh? Like, what are you saying? Like, it's the most ridiculous. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's disgusting.
But you were talking about horror movies here. So
Insidious. So by the Saw and Paranormal Activity
people. Your son is haunted? Is that the one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, essentially. But what's really interesting is that when they created Saw, you know, the creators of Paranormal Activity and Saw, they got together and they were talking about all these different ideas. Saw was one of them. One of the other ones that they thought about was actually the idea that ended up becoming Paranormal Activity. And this is the third idea that they had. And, so first of all, it stars that babe from Get Him to the Greek.
Patrick Wilson.
That babe from Get Him to the Greek that plays Jackie Q. But what's interesting is she's also a musician in this film, so I found that a little bit distracting because I was waiting for her to sing about her
butt
asshole.
Butt sex.
Bad knees, super tight.
Right.
But, so the first, like, act and a half are really scary, especially if you see it at a drive-in. And, you know, really good, you know, mood-wise, it's actually interesting. It's a haunted house film for the beginning. But what makes it totally different is that every other haunted house film is like, man, this house is super haunted. Oh, well. And like, man, this house is super haunted. Let's get the fuck out of this house.
Right.
Which is totally
How does this take more than 5 minutes though, for them to leave the house?
Yes.
Is this a spoiler to answer that question?
Well, essentially, then they find out that it's not actually the house.
So they just keep going to new houses.
But, you know, so it's a really interesting cast. So, like, the mom from Black Swan, isn't it?
Didn't see that movie.
Barbara Hershey.
Yes. And I don't know if anyone ever saw, now I forget the name. But there's this really fantastic, hilarious horror movie. And so there's a lot of horror movie greats in this movie, actually, which have small cameos.
Right.
So it's actually really surprisingly well done until the last act, at which point you're just like, oh, fuck my ass, this is retarded.
Mm.
Like, because then it becomes very PG-13, like, you just kind of hit the wall. And it gets very, like, Dutch angle and shit, and you're just like, ugh, fuck my life. But it's cool.
For sure, for sure.
It's all good. A lot of good jump scares.
Speaking of weird horror, have you guys ever heard of a movie? I saw it on, like, maybe FearNet or something. It was one of those, like, 80s, like, we're going to find one rule of the horror genre and not follow it, and that'll be our special, like, we're mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. This movie's called Cherry Falls.
Oh, yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
Right, so the whole premise of Cherry Falls is only virgins get killed. Mm-hmm. Like, so they have, there's this great scene in the movie where they have, like, yeah. The name of the town is also Cherry Falls. But there's this great scene. There's this great scene in this terrible movie where they have, like, a basically a PTA meeting, that, and the only topic of discussion was, should we encourage all of our kids to fuck each other so that the killer won't kill them?
Yes.
It's the greatest scene. And because there's, like, most of the parents are like, well, I don't want my child to die, but there's a few parents who are like, no! Like, it's like a special bond. It's really adorable. Anyway, go see Cherry Falls.
No, but that's interesting also because that's something that they're going to explore in Scream 4.
Mm-hmm. Virgins can die now. Yeah, I remember that.
And virgins.
And Maiden Pantier is like, does that mean I get to live longer than the rest of the
world? What's under a torso, by the way? Yeah, because it takes up 2/3 of her body.
Well, she's a weird. She's just.
She's a member of the Lollipop Guild.
I have a friend like that. His legs are the same length as mine, but then he's 5'10".
Ooh, that's weird.
So, like, he's all torso?
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I have crazy long arms and legs and stuff for...
Just like Giselle.
Yeah. That's one of the many comparisons that they made between me and Giselle, as a matter of fact.
Giselle. Bunchen?
But the...
Supermom.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that and we would both totally have sex with Tom Brady. Those are the two... Just those only two ways.
Even with the Bieber hair?
Oh, yeah. It's even worse.
Oh, it's so awful.
I think somebody... I was reading an
article...
I would
not hit that.
I was reading an article that was saying that Tom Brady... has effectively trolled the entire universe with that haircut. Because he was like, oh, I'm going to win the first ever unanimous MVP in NFL history with my idiot haircut. And you can't do anything. I'm so good that I can have this stupid haircut.
No, it's that he's going bald and his hair plugs haven't taken yet. Mm. So that's a stupid haircut to get it over. Like,
right.
Read your Perez.
And still up. My God. Has he expanded his MS Paint palette yet?
Pink.
Still, I'm calling that a lightish red. I didn't talk about this. I wrote this down on my list of shit I want to talk about, and I don't even know where we're going to go with this, but it feels like something I need to mention. I was like 10 or 11, maybe, and I had this friend, Zach. Zach was kind of a rich dude, folks were rich. Mm-hmm. They lived in, like, Charles Schultz's old house, mm-hmm. which was a converted, like, Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Like, it was a very small Catholic private school that had its own, like, pool with bathhouses for the dudes and the chicks could be changed and stuff. Then Charles Schultz bought it, and then it became, like, my friend Zach's house. Yeah. I think in that order. I think those were the three owners in order. and it was Zach's, like, 10th or 11th birthday or something. We went to, like, one of those Japanese restaurants where they, like, chop all the stuff up.
Benihana.
It was like Benihana. It wasn't actually Benihana. But
Benihana knockoff.
Yeah, it was Benihana knockoff. It was Benihana. And,
To be fair, they're not really copying Benihana. No. Benihana is just a brand, like, Band-Aids.
Sure.
Because that's just a thing that happens in Japan. Kleenex.
Yeah. Band-Aids. Band-Aids are just a thing that happens in Japan.
Teflon style.
Yeah. Cooking. So, so
that
anyway.
Should be their new motto instead of always squeeze then stick.
Yes. That's always been my motto too. So
like Benny.
So
I was just talking about things you can only do in Japan, and I was saying I would totally marry Nutella.
So
go on.
You guys wouldn't be getting a line on that one. So anyway. So we're at this is not, by the way, the Japanese restaurant not wrote all into the story. I just wanted to mention that it was fake Benny Hanna. And Zach convinced me, and I don't know how he did this, because I must have been like the dumbest 10-year-old or 11-year-old or however old he was. He fucking convinced me, like, for sure, that he and another friend of his, as part of his birthday celebration within the next couple days, were going to get to personally fly mocked up X-Wings. He was like, we're going to get to fly X-Wings, dude. And I was like, really? And he was like, yes.
But to be
and
fair,
I believed him.
If there was any kid, especially that we knew, but probably in Sonoma County, that had that ability, it would have been him.
Yeah,
so.
But the point is, that's fucking impossible. Like, that's not going to happen ever. And he goes, yeah, you could come with us, but like you have to sign a bunch of waivers and stuff. And I don't think your mom would do it, which was also true, by the way. But it was just like, I was sitting there. I was so upset. You can't even understand how, because this was also, I think it was like, I don't know, it was like 97 or something. So yeah, I would have been like 10. Like, because the special editions were just coming out of the original trilogy.
On VHS, and either the silver box or
the gold box.
I still have.
See, you guys make your dismissive wanking motions at the special edition, but you wouldn't be doing that. Like, you know, you really shouldn't be doing that in light of all the worst things that have happened to the Star Wars fans.
I have the black box set that came out in like 94 or 95.
The original trilogy.
Yeah, every one has an intro by Michael Eisner that you have to fast forward through. Or no, not Michael Eisner.
You don't have to. You can just listen to him.
Leonard Maltin. It's Leonard Maltin.
No.
I met him. Because you watch them the first time,
right.
And then every single time.
Well,
you
I'm just saying,
watch
how did you confuse my class?
Just they're Leonard both Malt. In my brain. They both have to do with Disney.
Okay.
So I don't know why Leonard Maltin has to do with Disney, but he does in my head.
So anyway, yeah, you have the black box of the original, like not afterwards.
One has Vader, one has a stormtrooper, and one has Yoda on the side.
Interesting.
That's awesome. Like fuck the like real the
real
heroes
three
of Maria,
main
like,
characters.
Luke and Leia.
It should be like Chewie, C-3PO, and R2.
Yeah, like New Hope. At least get the second. It's like half of Vader's helmet, and then there's like the X-wing like firing at the Death Star, and then there's like the stormtrooper with Hoth behind it, and then there's Yoda with I think.
I like that amazing poster for it. That's like Luke with like 10 million abs, and like Leia's got the like her robes are like almost falling off, and she's like at his feet, like he's freaking like. Some sort of Greek god.
It's your the brother. Greatest.
Yeah.
I watched.
So, yeah, but anyway, the point is, I was like, I guess 10 or 11, and I was so convinced that this was true and going to happen. That fucking some guy and I was going to get to fly in a fucking X-Wing for realsies. I just
for
wanted,
fakesies?
Yeah, no, that was for real, not for play. That was one thing, and the only other thing I wrote down here, and I mentioned this to you earlier. So you know how in Back to the Future you have to get up to 88 miles an hour to travel through time? That's fucking ridiculously unsafe.
Okay.
Because it's not like there's any historical record of where everyone on Earth was standing. So there's no way to know that you're not going to just fucking bowl some fuck over and just kill him.
Well,
and
remember
ruin
when
the timeline
when he like went through the board and ends up in the Old West?
Yeah.
Like,
he was struck by lightning.
Well, and
he gets chased
by the cowboys.
Oh, when he turns to the
movie
screen.
And then he
goes
into under the cave.
Yeah. Well, that was at least an educated guess. They were going to end up just in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, but
still, it was still
very narrowly avoided. But
yeah, what if he just beamed into the middle of a horse?
Yeah.
Like, what if he appeared around a horse? Like, he phased through one.
I would think that Doc thought out that technology.
Well, he just had like a buffer force field that just shot horses in every direction.
It was all lit up when he, like, reemerged.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
It also doesn't not mean anything.
I hate punching holes in wonderful things.
I'm just saying, like, I love Back to the Future violently. Like, I will fight you if you don't like Back to the Future. And I'm just saying, in retrospect, there's gotta be a, like, why do you gotta get, there has to be a better way. Like, why, I just see, I mean, because he already, you know, they were already altering history all over the place, but, like, imagine if they just accidentally just run over that farmer, or, like,
fuck them.
Yeah, or just killed that awesome drunk guy. He's, like, drunk pedestrians. Like, what if they killed one of them?
That's why his next invention was to not need roads.
That's a good point.
He didn't invent that, though.
He just found it in the future.
I know, but his next step was like, this would make this so much safer and better.
And then he had a hover train. That was pretty badass. I'd love to know the details of how. Of course, well, that's what you gotta do. Gotta get someone from the cast of CSI on your train, and then you're good to go.
Or Step Brothers.
What?
Or Step Brothers.
Or Step Brothers. There you go. Right on. All right. So, we talked about Insidious, we talked about Scream 4. Talked about my bullshit. Devin's dying presently. Just coughing.
I ate too many peeps.
I didn't realize that gives you lung problems.
Maybe she's
swelling up inside her.
She's like.
So, we've talked about all these horror films. It's time for our new segment. which is, of course, Stalker Peace Theater. Julie and Deming both have entries, but Julie is the one who's sort of the impetus for this segment. Ladies and gentlemen, Julie. So why don't you go and tell an annotated version of the story, and then we're going to have a little dramatic reading as well.
Okay. Well, yeah, and the reading is only for the post-original sparking conversation of this. So I'll get
scroll
it up.
Way to the top.
I'll get it up to the right spot for the good stuff.
Sure. Well, go ahead and tell the story while you're doing that.
Yeah, so anyway, I'm a flight attendant. And typical good rule of thumb is to not pick up people on planes or give out your phone number or take phone numbers because there's all kinds of crazy people.
Because you're on a plane.
A lot of people do it. It's a good idea not to.
I met one of my 8th grade boyfriends on an airplane.
I taught Adam Bugsbaum how to play poker on an airplane.
Lots of good things to do on an airplane. When you're working on one. On an airplane. Oh my god, it's crazy. Anyway, I met this person on an airplane, and we didn't talk too much during the flight. It was like a 6-hour flight. But at one point, finally, he came up, and we were like, in my galley, which is kind of a closed-off area, so it's not like all out in front of people. And we were just talking about totally innocent things like sports and whatever in life, and it was nice and fun. And I was like, oh, that was a really nice conversation. It would be fun if we could keep having it, but we're landing, and I'm not really going to see him again, so oh well. And as he got off the plane, he handed me this really sweet note that was just like, hey, I really liked our conversation. If you're interested in continuing to have it, give me a call. And he gave me his number. And I was like, that was really sweet and a really, unthreatening way to do that. So,
points for non-threatening.
Yeah. Well, if he was like, you're hot, that was awesome, call me babe, I would be like, I'm good. But anyway, sure. So I sent him a text when I landed, and I was like, yeah, I liked meeting you too, it was fun. Let me know when you're in town, and I'll let you know when I'm where you live. Right. And that was pretty much it. Over the next couple of days, I have more to tell before that. Over the next couple of days, we kind of texted back and forth about when we would each be in town. And then finally, one night last week, he was like, you know, I'm actually free tonight. Do you want to talk? And I was like, oh, not tonight, but tomorrow I'm free. So, yeah, let's do it. So we, set up a phone date. And I was like, that sounds like a good idea. And, nice way to get to know each other. So.
That's how they sink their claws in.
Yeah. we start our phone date, and within 2 minutes of the conversation, I'm cracking up. It's just our sense of humor is totally click, and I'm, mm-hmm. I'm just totally at ease, and it's just this really good conversation.
Right.
Then the conversation kind of starts to get a little weird because he keeps telling me how beautiful he thinks I am, and in contrast, how unattractive and short and slightly overweight he is. And
sounds like a great sell.
Well, that's not fun to talk
that's
about.
A, well, that's a oh,
yeah.
We're going to get
and
to
then,
your input
and
on
then,
this
and then the conversation shifts further, and he says the sentence, I'm sorry, I'm just so nervous. I don't want to lose you.
Boom! There it is.
And I'm like, bitch, lose me. You don't have to. This is a first date, and it's not even a real date. It's a phone date,
wow.
If even that.
Okay.
So I just, pump the brakes here,
wow.
And I don't really know what to do, so I kind of awkwardly am like, oh, well, don't be nervous, and one really nice thing about this is we can take time to get to know each other, and it's
not
serious, and don't
yes.
be nervous, and... So we kind of get back into a normal conversation, and it kind of shifts
mm-hmm.
in and out of that uncomfortable talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the last, and that was our last phone conversation.
Okay.
Then it went into texts.
Okay, so we have these texts here. Megan and I, as is our new tradition, we'll be performing a little reader's theater for you.
I'm
going to read all these great passages. Those are our friend, Creepshow. And then you get all the green passages. Those will be... Our hero, Julie.
Heroine.
Julie.
Heroine.
All right, so I'm going to start. I'm going to try to do this.
And start from where I put it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to read the double post. So, yeah, there's a double text here. All right. Just want to say I've been thinking about you all day. I hope we can see each other soon. Hope you're having a great day.
You seem really sweet. I'm really excited to see you at some point. Hopefully sooner rather than later.
Same here. Are you busy? Was thinking maybe we could chat.
Oh, wait, it's past that. Sorry.
If we're busy, no worries.
So this is
okay, so we'll skip ahead.
Sorry, my fault.
It's a little atmosphere.
Right. Is it this one? Anyway.
Now that we've set the tone.
Yeah, right. We're going to delete all this in post. Oh my god.
Okay, perfect.
All right, here we go. Okay. I feel like I messed up. I didn't mean to bother you on your days off. Hope you have a great weekend. Ciao, Bella.
Christ.
I don't have... Okay. No. It's getting better.
Sorry.
I don't have much, but I promise you my world and do my best to keep you happy anytime, any place, and any way possible. Is English this dude's first language? All I ask is a chance to prove it to you. I hope you are doing... These are all different text messages. I hope you are doing great, beautiful... And I hope I'm not disturbing you. I think it's safe to say he's disturbing everyone at this point. Wishing we could talk again soon. Good night, Bella.
I hate to be harsh, but here it is. When I said I liked you, I was being honest. I had a nice time talking to you on the plane and at the beginning of our conversation the other night. But this is way too intense for me.
Mm-hmm.
You said you don't want to lose me, but we haven't even been on a date. I'm really sorry, but I just don't think this is going to work.
Totally reasonable response. Firm, yet polite. Okay. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for it to come out like that. May I call you to explain myself, please? Just a few minutes of your time.
I can't. I'm at my mom's house, and I don't want to wake anyone.
Is that true? Okay.
And I didn't want to talk
May
to
I text my explanation for my stupidity? I will keep it short. I promise. These are different times. I was so nervous during that conversation. When I said I didn't want to lose you, I should have said I don't want to mess up. When I'm nervous, I say stupid. You text. Things. They come out all wrong. Never in my life, just someone said they actually liked me.
Red flag.
Boom. That's a glowing neon red flag.
They liked me? Nobody's ever told you.
I guess I didn't know how to take it. It was all new to me. I never meant to be too intense, bother you, and most of all mess up on what could have been the best thing ever in my life. I am truly sorry.
This is
still going wrong. Like text 8 in a row. All I can do is ask for your forgiveness. I've done a foolish things and am now paying the price. Julie, I am deeply sorry. Please let me prove to you I am not such a fool and show you the confident man I am without the nervousness. May I ask for a second chance, please?
Mark, I really do think that you're a nice guy. But this is just too much for me. I can't handle all the apologies and hopes of acceptance. I know that you'll find someone as passionate as you are. Good night.
Okay. @ open parentheses caret @. What is
that?
Is that like a weird eyes?
No, he was out of the country. I think
whatever.
That's the way it had to be said.
Julie, I am nervous to send you this text in fear of no reply. I am coming back from Dubai tonight, and I got you something small. Was this like the next day? How many days later was this next reply?
Well, just look at the... This was
okay.
All within 2 days.
Okay, this is all within... Okay. I got you something small. I had a lot of time on this trip to think about what I did wrong. I'm truly embarrassed of how I acted so foolishly. I have never done that in my life. Would you be free to talk on Thursday or Friday? All I'm asking is for a few minutes of your time. Hope you're doing great. End of conversation.
I thought my previous text ended it. Like, I thought it was pretty succinct.
Hey, bye.
And then the next day, I got three more texts, and I was like, for realsies? Like,
every time your phone buzzed, were you just like,
At some point, you're getting a text that's like, I had to kill my dog because he said we shouldn't be together.
I hate it when that happens.
I wrote my name on your lawn in kitten blood.
Actually, once I did have a guy think I made him feel like the Red Hot Chili Peppers song Under the Bridge.
That oh, you made him feel like he was on heroin?
He said that the exact way he felt because I said I didn't love him was like that, and then he tried to kill himself. That's a lot for a 16-year-old.
Wow.
Was that
At least it didn't feel like the music video for that song.
Let's see.
Sorry about that. Hey, let's not say his name.
That was actually the boy that I lost my film sex virginity to.
Aww.
So I can't believe it turned out like that.
You're a quarter virgin. I'm a virgin when I met him. Actually, before we go on to the next, I have a creep show story. A friend, it's a secondhand story from a buddy of mine from high school, Seth.
So this guy, there was this guy who was like, I might not be remembering all the details of this crystally, but basically there was this guy who, like, he hung out with them a lot. Let's just call this dude, I don't know, Francis. So Francis would hang out with Seth, you know, every now and then, and Seth, like, would kind of let him, didn't like the guy or anything, but he was, like, mostly harmless, you know. One day, Seth mentions, totally in passing, I woke up the other morning and there were birds outside my window. All right? That's what he said. I told you this story, yeah. So he goes, I woke up the other morning and there were birds outside my window. Which is not, by the way, saying those freaking birds woke me up. He was just saying there were birds outside. Okay. Cut to the next morning. The sound of, no, the sound of water on his window. And he's like, what is that? He goes to the window. He opens the window. He sees Francis outside. And Francis is down there with a hose and a shovel. And he's like, hey, buddy! And then he turns, takes the shovel, and smashes one of the baby birds that he had blasted out of the tree with the hose.
Oh, no.
That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever even heard.
Oh, no.
Right. So, basically what I'm saying is, maybe don't accept this gift. It could he like a cat could have brought you a dead bird.
I don't plan on ever seeing
this.
If you
accept the gift, then they think that, you know, there's like an established that you owe him something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what always happens.
Well, I was like, texting or talking to him again, and then he replied to my text, and I'm still not planning on
you're doing
shout out.
So, and he lives on
as
the
long as he doesn't
country,
know where
so
you live
or
a specific address that you like can receive things from.
But he does fly on my flights. A lot. Yeah. So I'm just hoping that I don't have
on airline. We will not mention.
But I will proudly say that, like, at least if I run into him now, I didn't just like blow like I didn't blow him off.
Oh,
like I
off. Sorry.
Let me finish thoughts. You know, because that would be awkward.
Yeah,
at least
yeah.
I can confidently feel like this is all completely him being psycho.
Oh,
yeah.
Severely.
Feel bad at all.
You were totally reasonable and. Yeah. You know, not measured and not crazy. How old is this guy?
If you 32.
Yeah, see, that's kind of what I thought. Oh, did he just tell you that? I figured early.
Yeah, it came up in conversation.
Sure.
They get insecure around that age, don't they? I mean,
so
like 20-something.
I have to keep that in mind when I'm 32 and monitor my self-consciousness.
Just like, yeah, don't creep on any young 20-something.
What I'll do is I'll just check myself out in the mirror every day and write a random number. Like, I'll write a number on the wall without looking. And then I'll go and see what the numbers were. If they got lower, then I know that something's wrong. That sounds like a great science experiment.
Medium.
Medium science experiment.
If you have amnesia and, like, can't
If I have memento and poor self-esteem. I'm like, fuck, I'm ugly, like, every 10 minutes.
That's rough.
That'd be awesome. All right, so, Debbie, you got a story as well?
Oh, I have so many stories. Which one do you guys want to hear? I had the one of the guy that cried because I just looked so much like Megan Fox.
You look not that much like Megan Fox.
I have blue eyes and dark hair, but I also have an ass, which separates me from Megan Fox.
And you don't have creepy man thumbs.
I have a... gorgeous thumbs.
Your thumbs, poems could be written. You have the thumbs that watched 1,000 shows.
I do. But,
so is Fonzie, weirdly enough.
God. Well, actually, okay, so probably the most stalkery one, who I'd never even had contact with.
Word.
Was, I was at the gym, and this seems to always happen at the gym when it's like, oh, so good, yeah, way. Like I'm sweating and my, you know, I like shit and I'm wearing 2 sports bras. What I'd love to do is be chatted up right now.
Right.
So I was running and he, like, you know, he just stands in front of me and I'm like, motherfucker, like I have earphones in, like leave me the fuck alone. And I take one out and he's like, so hey, how's it going? And I'm
like over the din of the treadmills.
Yeah. And I'm like, no, what's up with you? You know? Anyway, we have a very short conversation in which he just demands that we should go on a bike ride together at some point.
He's like, we're doing it.
Yes. And I'm like, what? And he's like, and I had mentioned that I work at a bed and breakfast. And that's it, right?
So we called all the bed and breakfast.
He called.
Boom.
All of the bed and breakfast.
Called
in
it.
Because he did have my name. And the fact that I worked at a bed and breakfast.
You didn't just mention your name was Leah.
I did not, which I usually, you know, my fake name is Devin, so I could have just done that.
Nice.
But,
Devin Sawa?
That
would be amazing. Keep saying it.
But, but yeah, so, we started getting all of these calls, like, a call a day at my bed and breakfast, to being like, is Deming there? Can I talk to Deming? Can I just get her phone number?
Wow, does she not know that nobody ever does that when you call the business? Just give you someone's personal phone number?
He found me on Facebook and wrote me about eight to ten paragraphs.
How many Demings?
No, I know. I'm very easy to find. But, hi, cyberspace.
Good call.
He sent me the world's longest, you know, letter being like, I just really want to go on a bike ride. Like, and you just seem so amazing. We talked for maybe a... 2 minutes.
He didn't drop legs, so you worked at a bed and breakfast. How do you like your eggs in the morning or something like that?
He did not. He's not that clever. And I rejected the friend request. I blocked him.
Good call.
He ended up ultimately having to have a meeting at my work about security because he called so much and because he started sending gifts and small cards for like non-holidays. I got a Thanksgiving card with a long message being like, so
bike ride.
Yeah, so anyway, like, and if you don't respond to this, I'm not going to contact you anymore. And I was like, neat.
Whew. It's like a drawing of, like, a bike, and then a bike, and, like, thumbs up.
Me is for both of us on the bike ride. I is for, I'd love to be on the bike
ride. It had been going on for
over a month and a half,
or maybe 2 months at that point, when I received this card.
Right.
And I had not contacted him.
Sure.
A couple weeks ago?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, somebody named Danny called for you? I don't know. And I was like, oh, fuck, it's that dude. And he keeps calling. And he actually called and got me once.
Yeah. And did you, like, did you say this is Danny and you picked up?
I said, there's no one by that name here.
Nice. Did he call since then?
I don't believe so. But yeah, that was...
Oh, Deming's dead.
She died in a freak bike accident.
she was helping retards and one of them exploded.
Yeah. Do you think that's true?
Yes. No, that's awesome.
I have a fun kind of... I wouldn't necessarily say... Well, kind of. This is actually... I got kind of stalked by a girl.
Oh, yeah.
By a story. My... Okay, so I was dating this guy for like 3 years, and then we broke up, and he decided that he was going to date this crazy girl.
That's what you do.
I think they tend to.
Oh, and she's not cute in any sort of way.
Yeah.
But, anyway, that's besides the point. Point of this is that this bitch is crazy.
Word.
So, I guess by going into his, like... I am, like, friends list.
Mm-hmm.
She found my screen name. And so one day I get this random message from, like... I don't remember what her screen name was, but, you know, from this person wants to talk to you.
Crazy ho 17.
And I'm like, oh. And she's like, hey. And I'm just like...
Hey, girl.
Hi. Who's this? She's like, oh, it's... I'm going to call her Mia for the sake of being anonymous.
Good call, good call.
So, oh, it's Mia. And I'm like, oh... Hi. She's like, I'm pretty sure, like, I understand if you don't want to talk to me, but just, like, I feel like we should, like, talk. It's like, I've known you for, like, a while now, but we never really talked before. It's like, yeah, because I didn't like you, even before you stole my boyfriend. Like, come on now. And, like, she didn't really steal him, but either way, it's like, even before he chose you over me, like... Ooh. Still didn't like
not bonding material.
Yeah,
like, sure.
This like we are not ever going to be friends.
That's
and she
fair.
Was just like, well, and so even after I'm like I was super nice about it. Like I was just kind of be like, I don't really like we were never like cool really. Like just trying to be like, please don't talk to me.
Yeah.
And it didn't work ever. Like she kept talking to me, and every time she talked to me, it'd be something different and weird. Like one time she mentioned something. She had like a. I don't know, like, I don't know her whole story, but she had, like, a mom issue, where, like, I said something about how, like, my mom kind
of... Moms are weird.
...has a tendency to be kind of meh.
Yeah.
Like,
which says a lot for your mom that even someone you don't want to talk to gets to know them. Sorry.
But, like, because she said something about her mom doing something, I was like, oh, that happened to me once, but my mom kind of wasn't cool about it. And she's like, well, that's not good because all mothers should be there for their daughters. Like, every daughter needs to have her mother around her. And, like, she just went off.
Oh, wow.
And I was just
like... Sounds a little bit Norman Batesy.
Like, kind of. And so then it got to a point one night where she was just like, we should hang out. And I was like, no.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we should date socially.
We probably should have, but I was...
You're like,
but,
I should delete my but like, I
was,
account.
But, like, I was talking to her, and I was talking to my friend Steven, and I was just like, she's saying she wants to hang out. And he was just like,
tell her, like, ask her what you would do. And I was like, okay. I was like, well, what would we do if we hung out? And her response was, oh, I don't know. We could just, like, go somewhere, like, get in the car and just start driving and, like, not tell anyone where we're going. And I was like, oh, because you want to take me out in the woods and murder me with a hatchet. Like, that's what's happening right now.
Make you a unicorn.
Oh, no. Yeah. And she was just like, yeah, no, totally.
Yeah. Like, you know, it would be great, never screaming. Let's not scream.
Like, yeah, and I was like, Steven, she wants to kill me. Like, and so then I was in a play at the time, and it was, you know that window where, like, you're trying to see if maybe you can be on good terms with your ex, and then you find out that you either can or can't?
You probably can't.
Usually you can't.
99% of the time, or in my case, 100.
Like, I have two that I'm still cool with, but this is not one of them.
Word.
So I invited him to the play, like, not... You know when you invite someone to something, but you don't actually think that they'd show up to it, so you're just, like, kind of doing it to be nice?
No, like, yeah. Every Facebook event I've ever started?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Wait, are you going to come to my Facebook event, Deming's Going Away Party?
Yeah, for realsies, though.
Okay, because we're going to get slithered.
Nice.
Do we have to?
So, ladies.
Ladies, ladies, ladies. Sorry,
I hope there's choreography.
So I'm in this play, and not only did they show up late, but, like, I happened to peek my head out of the green room because I was trying to, like, check it, what part of the show we were at, mm-hmm. and they were right there, and so I just looked straight at them, and I was like, oh, they're both here. That's uncomfortable. I, like, slid back into the room. And I was like, the girl who wants to kill me with the hatchet in the woods is here. And
they were, it's a terrible feeling every time.
But it's not a nickname.
So, like, yes. So they got there just because it was, like, a Molly night Hatchet. Of one acts. So, like, everybody was in, like, multiple shows that night. So they got there just in time for the first one that I was in. And the first one that I was in involved me literally, like, just staring straight in front of me for, like, 5 minutes.
Is that where they were?
And that's exactly what they were. Because they got there late, so they were sitting in the back of, like, the small
Didn't
theater.
Want to modify your blocking at all?
I couldn't. I had nowhere else. There was a microphone that I had to stand on. So, like, literally, I had to. I was just like,
God. So I had to, like, boyfriend and Lizzie Borden over here.
Yeah.
And the monologue was called, I totally want to hang out with you, but I'm not going to tell you.
No, okay. So then, like, I do that one. I have, and then I have two more that I'm in, and the show is over. And I go outside, and they had gotten in this, like, horrific car accident, which is, like, karma. It's like, fuck those guys.
Okay.
Like, I was excited that they were both, like, not dead. Like, I didn't want either of them to die, but at the same time, like, oh, good, now that I know that you guys are okay, fuck you. Like, you deserved it. But so, and I'm gonna do this to Deming here.
Okay. Oh, no.
People that are listening can't see this, but you'll be able to hear.
Narrate.
So, we're talking, so I come out after, and they'll be like, oh, hey, thanks, guys, for coming, and he's...
I'm sorry, Megan is turning towards Deming, and Deming is turning towards Megan.
And he does his thing because this is how he talked to us. And we're like, yeah, it was pretty good. Like,
he was acting nonchalant.
Like, whatever. And I'm like, oh, you managed to grow out a beard finally. Like, that's, you know,
that's my favorite thing to tell. Like,
no, because the whole time we were
I don't
dating,
feel weird about that my beard now at all.
No, let me preface. Okay, let me explain. Because the whole time we were dating, he kept trying to grow out a beard, but all he ever managed to get was, like, a molestache.
Ooh, molestaches. So I had one for, like, 3 years before I decided to shave.
So, like, you actually managed to get, like, a full beard on you. Even his beard that he had gotten was, like, not nearly as nice and full as yours.
Well, thank you.
But it was like, oh, look, you got a little farther with that. Good job.
Less homeless.
And then, so this is what happens. The crazy lady leans over to me and goes, hey, Megan, can I tell you something? And I go, yeah.
Megan looks like an evil child in a horror film.
And she comes up and she gets right up to my ear. And
oh, no. They're
she,
telling
she goes,
secrets.
You were the best one. Exactly like that. Like a creepy, raspy whisper.
Child's play.
And I was like, okay, thanks for coming. Bye, I'm gonna go.
That,
like,
is
I don't want to be
delightful.
Here anymore.
Y'all weird.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Get the fuck out. Which is how I imagine that being said.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I have a couple stories. of crazy.
So
ladies.
Irresistible.
Yeah. That's definitely the reason for it. It's not because, you know. Never mind. I was gonna
That's
say,
the
like,
reason.
No, I was going to say it's because it seems like until I like decided that I was not a shitty person myself. Like, up until that point, when you're the one
you're
sending
like, oh,
out,
she's the best I can
yeah,
do.
Yeah, yeah, when you're sending out texts, they're like, I'm so sorry, I never...
No one's ever
Bella,
told me
until
I
you
said,
yeah, no one's ever liked me for
no one, not even my parents, have told me they liked me.
My parents are like, later, fuck me. I was eight years old. No, but when you
have things to do.
When you have poor self-esteem, you attract people who are either B, have equally low self-esteem, which is no fun for anybody, mm-hmm. or B, are like severely emotionally predatory, which is also no fun for anybody, mm-hmm. except for them. So I dated this girl for a little while. She was really horrible. She was a terrible person. Everybody I knew was like, why are you dating this person?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're terrible. Even if they didn't say it to me outright, they would say it in their head, like Julie,
mm-hmm.
who yeah. for some reason didn't tell me, which I'm so upset with you about. If you told me, it would have been like, oh, you're right, fuck. But it just took me a while.
Or you would have been like, screw you and never
We're never
you.
Friends.
You don't understand our love.
Yeah.
Attica. No. Anyway, so finally, you know, thank God my friends got through me. Shout out. What's up, Rhino? What's up, King? My friends got through to me. And so I broke up with this girl. And it was amazing. It was the best breakup ever. I broke up with her on the phone, which is such a shitty thing to do. I felt really shitty about it.
Why is that shitty? Why has society decided that you need to be there and watch that person crumble? Like,
because
would you rather know that they're like safely like at home with friends or something like that?
Okay. Well,
I did it once because he was on the other side of the country.
Yeah, this girl lived in Sacramento. I didn't want her to drive down and be like broken up with and then drive home like weeping. Like I didn't want
to
do that.
I had one of my ex-boyfriends take me to a movie and then I broke up with
her. That's awesome. Yeah, wait till they give you a present or take you someplace.
See, I made the mistake of doing it before Christmas. Right before
Christmas. But my point is, So I broke up with this girl on the phone. The reason that it's better to break up with people in person, I think at least, is that it implies that you care about their feelings because you're there. Like, because you took the effort to be there, it sends a message that you're not just like, fuck off, buddy, I found something better to do. It's like, look, I'm sorry that this didn't work out. Because you can say, look, I'm sorry, or text, look, I'm sorry, or instant message, look, I'm sorry, which I don't want to talk about. And it's, you know, it sends a different message. It's Rick Conkoff will tell you that the less senses you're engaging, like just mm-hmm. instant messaging or texting, is the least personal form of communication you can have because you can't tell, you can't see how a person is reacting, and you mm-hmm. can't hear like the tone of their voice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why sometimes you text somebody something and they text you back like, what the fuck does that mean? And you're like, oh, you didn't understand my tone at all. Like this is just text. I didn't include blocking or you know, acting directions.
Yeah.
So you didn't understand. Anyway.
Stage left. Young Jeremy.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm just saying personally, especially if I'm being dumped, I don't really want to be there with the person. Like, it's super awkward, especially after it. And then you're like, I have to walk back to my dorm or like go get in my car
trudging
or give them a ride home or whatever.
There's always that thing of like, should you come to my house so that you can leave, or should I come to your house
so
that
I can,
so I can
leave
you
too.
In your house?
Yeah.
Fine, that, yeah.
Or like
the worst is when you live together.
Yeah. So you enjoy the couch, and I will be here.
Yeah. And then if one of you had, like, if you're being dumped and you have a more emotional response, that's not fun. You're like, I don't want to cry in front of you, but I need to, so please leave.
I tried to use a Space Jam analogy once to get him to stop crying.
What, so he would believe he could fly?
Okay. He would not.
Don't be a mom star.
Right.
We'll see. Be a Bill Murray.
Well, I had gone for a while, okay? And I kept being like, oof, you know, kind of checking my watch.
Did somebody
like that? Yeah.
Okay.
So, we're sitting there and I'm just kind of like, oof, fuck, is this over yet?
Yeah.
And he's like, I just can't do anything without you. Like, because he wanted to be a doctor. And he's like, how can I get through med school without you? He was in high school at the time. Well, no, we were freshmen in college.
Yeah, how can you be a doctor without a girlfriend?
Without your freshman year?
Everybody knows that.
And, you know, how am I going to do this? And so I said, remember in Space when, you know, they all thought they were playing really well because they had the magic.
But it turned out that they were
just water.
It was just water, you guys.
And that they had it in them
all along. High five.
Guess how much that helped?
None. Zero helping.
Zero helping.
Nice.
I didn't even get my fucking Christmas present.
Word. All right.
Which was going to be my engagement ring.
Oh. Well, then, good thing you did it then. Good call. That's what they call getting in under the wire. So here's the rest of my story. So, broke up with this girl on the phone. She was less than pleased. Also, it was the day before Halloween or something. So she was also excited about Halloween. I guess I did ruin her Halloween plans in a way, which I guess we're just going to be to put on more eye makeup. But that's neither here nor there. Not possible. Anyway, but it's not in retrospect. I'm gonna sympathize with her more than even maybe I should. I think she's a nice person. She just doesn't recognize when she's being emotionally leechy. So I broke up with this girl. I felt much better about life. I woke up the next morning, and it was that scene in, I think, Spider-Man 2, where they're singing Raindrops Keep Falling On, and he's just, happily just, jaunting through town because he's not Spider-Man anymore.
Or, 500 Days of Summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exactly 500 Days. That's so true. Hall & Oates is playing. Happy times. So.
Joseph Gordon.
Yeah.
Why didn't I include Joseph
Gordon?
Oh, my God! He's totally my crush.
Totally.
Shout out to the former last week's PCast.
Anyway, so I thought everything was good. Then cut to 4 or 5 days later, right? I'm in a grocery store. I think it was in Whole Foods where my buddies worked at the time. And I get this call from her. I had actually already deleted her number from my phone. So I was what number is this? Hello? just picked up, which I shouldn't have done. Also, by the way, I picked up and she goes, this is literally the first thing she says. Hi, did you ever cheat on me? I was excuse me? No, I did not cheat on you. She's I just don't understand why you broke up with me. And I was honestly, I didn't like who I was when I was with you. And I feel that's enough of a reason. That should be enough of a reason. I don't like who I am mm-hmm. when I'm with you. It says a lot. So I'm sorry. And it's nothing personal. Mm-hmm. But... I didn't cheat on you. I just didn't. It's just done. Yeah. Bye. Click. Yeah. I was a little bit less harsh than that, but not much. Because you got to be firm, or else, they're oh, that means we can get back together.
Yeah, why are they like that?
Our love can mm-hmm. be reignited.
Yeah.
Like the eternal flame.
No.
Not the song, the
fire. Is this burning?
Nice.
Eternal flame.
Me and Dan are totally. So. I know it's the Bengals. Then it was the first night of Hanukkah. I'll set the scene. First night of Hanukkah, right? It was early November that year, I think. And I was all full of Manischewitz. I was nice and toasty warm. Manischewitz, by the way, is the wine of champions. It is the greatest beverage on earth. You can get fucked up on blackberries. What else? That's the only place you can do that, is with delicious Manischewitz in your tum-tum. Anyway, I was all nice. I get this call, and the call says, "I'm on my way to your house right now because we need to talk about this because I need closure." It was 1 a.m, by the way, and I was like, "Hold on a second," and I hung up. Right,
and then you set your alarm.
Right. No. So, and so she's running down from Sacramento at 1 a.m, and I'm sure she wasn't celebrating Hanukkah, but be that as it may. So I run upstairs to where, because my friends and I both slept upstairs, not in the same bed or anything. I go to their room and I just start pounding on the door. I'm like, "You guys gotta help me! I can't handle this by myself." I knocked on the door so loud. I'm sorry. I knocked on the door so loud that they seriously felt like a war had started. Some kind of, we gotta get the fuck
just
out of the Bay Area.
Emerged.
Exactly, like, you guys.
They were there all along.
Yeah. Like, the fucking volcanoes have erupted. We have 10 minutes to
the
get the fuck out of
town.
The Golden
Gate is down.
Yeah, the Golden Gate is, Magneto's arrived. He redirected the Golden Gate to Alcatraz. Anyway, so she calls back a bunch of times, and finally, I couldn't even really speak. I was like, don't come here. She was like, "I need to," blah, blah, blah. She was horrible. So finally, she calls again, and my friend Kate, she goes, give me the phone. So I just hand her the phone. She picks up. She was like, do not come here. We will call the police. And then I hear this pause for a minute. And she goes, no, name of girl, I have not slept with Jeremy. Like, anyway, so it was just got real severe. But eventually, they finally talked her out of it. So she went, like, super crazy in, like, the ensuing months. She called me right before I flew down to Los Angeles to let me know she really needed this mini fridge back that she had given me. Like, she was like, I don't need this mini fridge anymore. I'm moving out of my dorm to a real apartment. Here, take this mini fridge. Nope.
You're going to stab her.
She was like, here, take the mini fridge. I was like, okay. Then she just called me, like, my mom's really mad and I need the mini fridge back. I was like, oh, you probably shouldn't have given it to me then. Right? Well, I remember. Carry over. She's been here for a whole week.
She doesn't live here.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So I was like, fine, go, you know, pick it up, whatever, threw it outside the apartment. Then, the last time that she talked to me for, like, I don't know, probably a year and a half, 2 years, she called me to say, and I don't know, I think this was her, like, this is how I'll get him. This was her plan, right? She had clearly formed blueprints, like, that be done. Blueprints, like, the safe will fall here.
A rotating chalkboard.
Exactly, yeah. She was Glenn Beckett up. She had, like, and then the safe falls, just stand on this X. Exactly, right?
Pull the pin.
Exactly.
Hence no game show.
Exactly.
With dance on LaForce's body. Yeah, they do it then. They do the celebration dance on LaForce's body.
Yeah, LaForce's dance on game show. Exactly.
So what was this plan?
She called me and she goes, Jeremy, I think I figured out the real reason that I was upset and felt like I didn't get any closure. And I was like, what's that?
It's sex.
Yes, that is exactly what. She goes, you know, like, she was like kind of oddly graphic about it, but she basically intimated that, like, the reason that she felt really upset was that, like, she was really looking forward to having sex with me when she came up for Halloween and that she didn't get to, and, you know, bummer. And I was like,
I just wanted to suck your cock one last time.
I know. She's like, God, let me down.
I had a nickel.
I know, right? But it was, I was like, this was, by the way, Thanksgiving night that this happened. It was the night of Thanksgiving. It was also like 2 a.m.
Bitches love holidays.
I was like, dude, can you call me either during daytime hours or during like a work day?
Not a bank holiday.
Yeah, not a bank holiday. Well, I guess Hanukkah. Well, never mind. A lot of jokes there.
Let's be honest.
I was like, oh, fuck.
Can I just say, though, that, like, there's never been a time where it's like, gee, I wonder if I could have sex with my ex-boyfriend. It's always like, fuck, I accidentally had sex with my ex-boyfriend.
I have one situation, but it was in high school.
Oh, so, accidents.
Like, they happen. So, sometimes you've just seen Sucker Punch.
Do you have, like, a chocolate up on your wall that says, like, blank days since last accident?
I used to have a three-week max.
A three-week max?
Yeah.
No. So I'm sorry, what were you...
I was saying, like, at Taco Bell, they have, like, this facility has been accident-free for 81 days.
That, and if you don't enjoy your taco, then we will
the give parallels. You your money back. The parallels, they're in there.
There's a lesson we learned from this, by the way. And the lesson is this.
Don't accept mini fridges from crazy chicks.
That's one. You know how people always say that, like, girls like assholes? Mm-hmm. That's not true. You know what it is? Girls like dudes where they know that if, like, I get involved with this dude, he will have other things to do in life besides talk about me. Assholes project that. Assholes project the image of, like, I have other shit going on and you don't matter. And that is, I think, what's attractive is the independence that assholes sort of embody. It's not like, oh, I love this guy, he's such a douchebag. Like, it's really like, oh, cool, if I date this guy, he won't, like, send me 8 text messages before he gets a reply.
Which is why it was so easy to, like, why this guy, my guy, Mark, was such a red flag right away. One phone conversation, he's like, I told my friend about you, and I couldn't stop talking about you.
Yeah, that's rough.
And first of all, that's something that I would have loved to hear if we've been together for several months. He's like, this is so dorky, but I just want to tell you that the first time we talked. Awesome.
Yeah, tell it later. Don't
say it. Fucking later. Once you've established that you're kind of an asshole. Can I just say that the asshole thing is totally a reciprocal. So the way that I the way that I flirt is I make guys think that they could have a chance if they just tried a little harder.
Nice.
And that's
this is some inside baseball
right
here.
That's just flirting. But with a guy, it's like, I don't know. Maybe I'd fuck you if you were just a little bit more interesting. And I meant the asshole thing. And then the girl's like, well, I'm totally interesting. Check out my tits.
Those are interesting. What up? No, but
indeed. You're welcome, cyberspace, once again. Sorry. I kind of popped a heel, Julia. I was just gesturing.
But the
gesturing.
Sure.
You're welcome.
But no, I mean, but the thing is that, like, the other way, therefore, to, like, you know, get a girl's attention and not just be like, what a fucker, like, just be a huge douchebag, is to just, you know, have what some people call, maybe it's just, you know, our demographic, you don't see this a lot, but maybe we have this other thing that's self-confidence.
Oh,
would be a good way to describe it. Maybe if you're just self-confident, or just, like, appear happy with your life.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's a good one. Because nobody wants to fix a person unless you're already fucked up.
Yeah, if you're fucked up, you're like, oh, dude, a project.
Yeah, like, projects are no bueno. Yeah. But because they don't work.
It's one thing to buy a house and be like, we're going to fucking clear all this dry rot out of here. We're going to fucking put in some new panel and it's going to be great. It's another thing to be like, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll fix his brain chemistry. Then everything
never
will be
happens.
Awesome.
Never happens.
Nope.
Especially, I mean, and if it does work, if you make him over, he's going to be like, oh, I'm hot now. And he's going to bounce on your ass.
Yeah, take it from Clueless. Sherry's biggest thrill in life is a makeover. And
it
did not work out well.
And, yes.
How many life lessons can we take from
Clueless? So many life lessons.
Delicious Paul Rudd.
Although I
know.
Paul Rudd never gets older.
Paul Rudd, yeah. What's that movie where the dude with the painting gets older and not the dude?
Dorian Gray. We talked about it.
That's right.
Previously.
Paul Rudd is Dorian Gray. That's right. We've discussed this.
Oh, yikes.
All right, so if we find Paul Rudd's painting, nobody stab it.
Nobody?
Yeah.
I'll kill you!
Yeah, don't do anything to
put
the painting.
Put it in a knife-proof case.
Just let it be gross.
Let it be old. It just guts it decaying.
Yep.
Great.
Word. Call plan A. All right.
I heard we have a how-to.
Yeah, Devin's got a feature. Our first feature.
Hello. Shut up. Anyway, I had a tough breakup a while back, and I supplemented that with alcohol and Grey's Anatomy.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Grey Goose and Grey's Anatomy?
It was not. It was whatever the fuck I could find.
And Grey's Anatomy.
So, because it's emotion porn for women, and I've learned a lot in having watched all of the episodes way too many times. I'm over it now, by the way. I'm very happy, and I'm watching Psych again.
Boom. Welcome back.
So I created a little how-to-survive if you ever find yourself in a hospital melodrama.
Nice.
And here are some rules, just so that, you know, you'll fit in, and there won't be any issues, and...
Well, let me give this a second, a title. It's Deading's Rules of Engagement! There you go.
So we're just going to give a little tour of the hospital. So first of all, there's the boiler room. This is for angry sex. So if you're feeling really pissed off, really pissed off, take the person that you're really pissed off with but have amazing sexual chemistry with, and there will be someone, and just yell, and then as the vent comes up, bone them. Anyway. Stairwells. Stairwells are not for doing anything naughty, but for being caught almost doing something naughty. You're about to kiss someone, maybe?
Yeah.
That's married, or you want to talk about somebody in private that you slept with, they're on the stair below you. Definitely.
These are great rules.
Okay, so let's see. Doctors, it's hard to tell how much they make. They could be building their own house, but still be having to steal supplies from the supply closet. That's what it's for.
Sure.
The supply closet, though. Also for having emotional breakdowns. Supply closet is not to be confused with the on-call room, which is openly for sex. People reserve it for sex. That's okay. You wait in line for sex.
The booty call
room. Totally. It's the booty call room. You page one another to the on-call room. That is for sex.
Are doctors, by the way, the only people who sell pagers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
And,
doctors
and
have
Zach Galifianakis.
Okay. The elevator is a zone for trapping people. So, elevators in hospital melodramas the stop button doesn't actually call any fire department. It just stops the elevator so you can have as long of a conversation as you want. Be it to make out with somebody secretly, to cry in private, to bleed from your gunshot wound.
Why would you stop the elevator to bleed?
Because he couldn't get up.
Yeah, but why would you stop the elevator? Why not, like, in a hospital, I should clearly get to a floor of this hospital.
No, he was getting away from the shooter.
Oh.
Or, be it to propose.
Aww.
Yes.
What's better than proposing in a claustrophobic space?
Gurneys are for napping, which is what the encore room was supposed to be for. If you ever find yourself in the morgue or in a room with coma patients, take a lunch break. That's what those are for.
Eating.
Now, we're going to get into the heavy stuff. This is life or death, and this is the final part of my segment.
Bring it.
Never, ever unplug a patient. If you find that, you know, she signed some sort of contract, and you have any kind of hint that the couple could be religious, don't unplug the patient. Any religious overtones and unplugging a patient, and you're going to end up in a hospital shooting. That's how that happens. Anyway, my very last and ultimate rule, and this is true of all hospitals, maybe not just melodramas, but it is true.
No wrong.
If you hear a song by The Fray, you get the fuck out. You get out because a lot of people are about to die in montage form.
But you're learning how to save a life.
Yes, you are, but, you know.
But not save your own life by leaving.
No, you get the fuck out because people are about to die, perhaps unexpectedly, and maybe it's not who you thought.
Violently.
Several people will die, and we're all going to cry about it.
Woo! That was a good sign. First prepared sign. I think we should do like a new week of TV tropes every week. We can all take turns.
Yeah.
Put the show and dissect all of its greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
Yay!
All right. Well, then I'm gonna go ahead and call next one if that's all right.
Okay, Jimmy has dibs. Everybody get excited.
I have a specific show in mind.
What's the show?
I'm not telling.
Give us a taste.
It is Star Trek: The Next Generation. A lot of Wesley Crusher talk coming at you next week, so strap in, ladies.
Strapped.
Yeah. That's awful.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what Wesley Crusher was into.
Yep, there you go. Pegging joke. We'll go out on a pegging joke.
And now we're fading.